The following program is produced and distributed by KETR.org. You can help by visiting KETR.org and clicking donate.
It's time for Lions Roar on KETR. This week, host Tim McMurray talked with head football coach Colby Carthel, Raven Porter with the Lions soccer team, and head volleyball coach Craig Case. Let's get started.
Welcome to this week's edition of Lions Roar here from the main cafe on the Texas A&M Commerce campus. Director of Athletics Tim McMurray. We've got a great action-packed show. Football coming off of a bye week. We'll visit here with Coach Carthel, talk about what happened in that bye week, and as we get ready for a big top 10 showdown on the road at Wichita Falls this weekend against Midwestern State. Also, soccer coming off a 1-1 weekend, or 1-1 week, with a 3-2 win over Texas Women's and a tough loss at home to Midwestern State. We'll recap that with soccer senior Raven Porter. And then volleyball head coach Craig Case will take us through a very tough 2-0 road week, and the 4-2 Lions are sitting in second place in a very tightly packed Lone Star Conference race. So lots to get to today. Let's welcome in our head football coach of our 4-0 and 2-0 in Lone Star Conference play, second ranked Texas A&M Commerce Lions. Coach Carthel, good to see you.
Good to see you. Good to be back.
I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. You had a very busy morning. I think we just heard some Merle Haggard on the intro. You had a very busy morning dealing with some Merle Haggard issues. It's what
well,
I understand.
I had him on YouTube and I got fired up, so I ordered two Merle Haggard t-shirts online, so cat's out of the bag.
Fantastic.
Wasn't working very hard.
So the game plan, that's a good 30-second interruption, though. We'll allow that. But so first, you know, we talked about it a little bit last week, and so now that we've actually lived through your first bye week in 18 years of coaching, talk a little bit about how you guys spent it, what you did, what adjustments were made, because obviously you don't have to look very far ahead to know you guys have had this one circled coming up this weekend for a while. What was the bye week like?
Oh, it was really good and relaxing, refreshing, I think, is a good word to describe it. But also, got a lot of work done and got prepared. So, coming back after the hurricane relief, got in late Sunday night. And Monday we put Kingsville to bed and watched film with the guys on Tuesday. We only practiced twice last week, Wednesday and Thursday afternoon, and about 90-minute practices, just introduced Midwestern and kept guys moving around. But, you know, a lot of guys that are nicked or bumped or bruised, we held them out. And so really able to get a lot of people healthy and back 100% and full speed. But, you know, as coaches, we were able to get everything done in the game plan and then kind of refresh that with what we saw from Midwestern against Western New Mexico. But, you know, allow us just really break a lot down and spend a little bit more time on a quality opponent and looking at what they did to us last year and adjustments and just maybe dig a little deeper into the coaching side of things than you normally would with just a 1 week prep.
You've been part of this rivalry here and certainly played Midwestern State at other places. We bump into them a lot on the road recruiting. Talk about not just the rivalry, but what Saturday night means for this program and moving forward.
You know, it's a big game just because it's the next one. And they are the bunch that, you know, spoiled our undefeated season last year by 1 point, and we didn't finish that game, and they did, and so credit them. They were the better team on the field last year. But, you know, there's been some great games back and forth between these two programs and our two staffs. You know, Coach Maskell does a tremendous job. He's been there, you know, 14 or 15 years now, I think, and always has a successful team, a winning record, and everything else. He and I have been in the Lone Star longer than anybody. I've got him by about 7 years, but as a head coach, he's got me by about the same. But he has a great staff and a really quality program and everything else. So it'll be two really good football teams matched up against each other. And hopefully we come out and put our best foot forward and find a way to win the ball game.
Much like the RMAC and the MIAA, we at our football head coaches meeting and fortunate to have the chance to sit in that room now as part of it, the LSC football AD's committee. You know, we spent some time, and you introduced the topic, and I think it's a really interesting one for our fans to take note of. We should be, much like some of those other conferences, we should be rooting for West Texas, for Midwestern State, for Eastern New Mexico to win every game except when they play the Lions. And I think what we're seeing now, Eastern New Mexico receiving votes again this week, us and Midwestern, two top teams, 10 teams going head-to-head. We want 2, 3, 4 teams always fighting for those 7 spots because it just – it strengthens our play and the Gulf South model, and they've done it. Talk about what you're seeing across the league or what you've noticed from a chance to actually have to get to listen to 4 games on Saturday night rather than be coaching in one.
Well, it is. It's good for our league to be strong and win. You know, I don't know that it's the same feeling in other coaching staff rooms that they root for us when we play North Alabama, but you know, we do because we were happy to see Midwestern beat Quincy, and we were hoping they could beat West Florida, and you know, was rooting for Tarleton against Delta State, and those out of conference wins, they help everybody, right. And they help our strength of schedule. They help us with our seedings in the playoffs, and whether that's us or somebody else. And so you want to see the league be strong. There's been years in the past where the Lone Star's gotten three teams in the playoffs, and that'd be great. I don't like playing a team twice. I'm terrible at it, but thankfully the LSC playoffs over with. But, you know, if we had to see one of these teams a second time in the playoffs, that's good. That's good for the Lone Star. It helps our recruiting, helps strengthen our brand, and hopefully help, you know, I'd like to see some team push on and make a big run. And, you know, we hope it's the Lions, but it may not be. And if it's Midwestern or Eastern or something, we'll be rooting for those guys.
Switching to a more unfortunate gear, certainly college football a couple of weeks ago had not one of our finer moments, and in this league, a little bit closer to home with the tragic passing of Robert Grace from the Midwestern State football team. We've done a couple things to honor him, certainly doing what we can to collect for the donations to his family, as all of our Lone Star Conference members are. But what talk about how the conversations have been in the locker room with your team and what you guys have discussed moving forward.
You know, it was a really tough and a tragic deal, and I know everybody's trying to move forward from it, but you know, our team, you know, we ordered this 24 strong stickers, and everybody's wearing those. And like I say, there's a lot of common threads within our programs, and players know each other. A lot of these guys are recruited by both staffs and everything else. So, you know, just want to continue to pay tribute. They had a great untimed down between Western and Midwestern State last week, where they just only took 10 on the field, and really a touching moment there. I was able to see online and everything else. And, you know, our leadership council, you know, they want to continue to honor him and pay respect to Robert Grays, and talking with those guys. This was just, you know, led by that group. I think we're going to see. I've got to work with SIDs and everything else, but they're wanting to play Chris Smith in another jersey. Chris Smith is our number 24, and they thought it would, you know, pay homage to Robert Grays, that's his field. And sure, he's only 24 on that field, and so you may see Chris Smith in a different uniform just as a tribute to Robert Grays and his legacy.
Really nice touching moment, and certainly for 3 hours we'll be opponents on the field Saturday night. But beyond that, you know, a little bit bigger than the game of football there. Open week, great opportunity for the kids to get fresh legs. What did you see Sunday night as you brought them back in practice? Did the week off, you feel like, help?
You bet. You know, Sunday night was another extra practice for us in preparation for this week, and had the wind blowing out of the north a little bit, so it was a little cooler. Finally starting to feel like fall, and looking at the weather forecast for Saturday only, you know, I think that's going to be the first game we've played at that actually feels like football season. So guys will be flying around. But, you know, we're getting, you know, pretty darn healthy for this time of year, and that's where that off week was really, I think, beneficial in a lot of different ways. To our program and health-wise and mental health-wise, and just, like I say, getting recharged, and even as coaches. And, our coaches did absolutely nothing this weekend. You know, just getting regrouped for the second half of the season. And that was a lot of fun. Sarah was off coaching volleyball, and I took major. We went to Aquarium in Dallas. I didn't watch a single snap of football on Saturday, and that was nice. And so, yeah. You know, I think everybody's pretty refreshed and ready to get going here as we close out the Lone Star Conference play.
Really excited. Two, possibly three student buses headed over. We've got a donor and alumni bus headed over Saturday night. Talk about the importance of a road support in a big conference rivalry.
You know, we've always had traveled well, and you know, we'll have a big crowd there at Midwestern. You know, when you come in with being the back-to-back-to-back Lone Star Conference champion, ranked in the top five, number two right now, you know, you're gonna draw a big crowd. You're going to get everybody's best game plan. You know, we know these guys were working on us all summer long, trying to get film after our games and everything else. So you don't just get everybody's best game, you get their best game plan, because everybody's trying to knock off the guys that finish first. But that's where that fan support on our side really helps, and our students have done a great job. Appreciate the administration putting that together to have three or four of those, and it may be four or five when it's all said and done. But yep, I think we'll have a great turnout over there. It's a close proximity game, 3 hours away, and there's going to be some really good football played by both teams on Saturday night.
Best of luck Saturday night. Look forward to seeing you next Tuesday.
Appreciate it. Thank
you. Coach, thanks. Colby Carthel will be back in segment two with Raven Porter from Lions Soccer.
Hello, this is Alex Shiloh from the Lions football team. The Lion Champion Fund is the official support unit for Lion Athletics.
Donations to the LCF go directly to providing a best-in-class experience for all 436 Lion student athletes. I am Sydney Reyes from the Lion volleyball team.
For more information about the LCF, you can visit lionchampionsfund.com.
Again, that's lionchampionsfund.com, and thank you for your best-in-class support.
Back on Lions, we're here in segment two from the main cafe on the Texas A&M Commerce campus. Welcome in senior soccer student athlete Raven Porter. Raven, nice to have you.
Nice to have you too, Tim.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us. And let's talk a little bit. We started out rising very quickly, won our home tournament, climbed to number 9 in the nation, had a little bit of a setback last week, but still only one loss and a couple of very competitive ties. Give me an assessment of the season, being one of two seniors so far.
I think the best assessment for the season is just learning. We have a really young team, so each game we're trying to learn from our mistakes, watching film, analyzing our shape, trying to perfect our shape. With having a lot of new players come in, learning is really key, and just teaching and each player, holding each player accountable and helping your teammates learn has really been a big part of the season.
Talk a little bit about the, no, you guys are big on the one word, everybody having one word within your team, and if you don't mind sharing yours and talk about what that does both on and off the field in terms of helping the team prepare.
So with our one word, our team word was one, and we just wanted to really embrace that, whether that was being number one in the conference, being one together as a team. Each player then picked an individual word to play by. My word was sacrifice, and I chose that word because as a senior, there's a lot that you have to do. You hold yourself accountable, you hold your teammates accountable, and I just felt like sacrifice, that's one of the things as a leader that's really big that isn't easy for leaders to embrace, so it's something that I wanted to do for myself.
By virtue of being a senior and having been here, leader on the field, leader in the locker room, leader in the classroom, certainly leader in community service, very active in Student Athlete Advisory Council. Talk about balancing the time. Talk about your favorite parts of it. Talk about the challenging parts. Give us a snapshot of, even though there may not be one, what a typical week for Raven might be.
A typical week is probably get up, go to class or work, then go to class or work, and then practice. On certain days, I may have organization meetings, so it, for me, it's super key that I have to write everything down in a planner, because if I don't, I'll forget about it. And just going and checking that planner like each class, and so just staying really organized. The best part about it is I just tell myself that whenever I get into the real world, there's really nothing that could stop me, because being in a busy schedule, being a student athlete, being involved is really time consuming. So I just try to use it as motivation for getting me ready for the real world, going to work all day, coming home, having responsibilities, so just stuff like that, just preparing for the future.
And I've been fortunate to spend a lot of time with the SAC group and really getting to know that group over the last 2 years, and very, very active, seeing a lot of different SACs and different levels of involvement and engagement and coaches being committed to it. What is that experience specifically, being a leader in SAC, helped you, and maybe what perspective have you taken from it?
Being a leader in SAC has definitely helped me a lot, especially after attending the Apple Conference in Nashville. We just had another group of athletes go. And for me, the best learning experience is really seeing a campus behind us athletes and embracing us athletes outside of being athletes. Whenever we try to promote different things that's going on in society, like our drunk driving, we won with the Responsible Lions campaign. We were asked to come back to the Apple Conference and won again with the Lions Designate. And just to see athletes come together inside and outside of SAC, whenever as SAC leaders were asking our teams to get involved, that has been really big. And just seeing what as athletes we can do and the change that we can make, especially with everything that's going on right now in society. You know,
sure,
athletes do have such a good platform, and I'm fortunate enough to be part of a program where I think that our athletes use our platform for amazing reasons and use it the right way.
The SAC Cup, I know, meant a lot to that group after we briefly gave up the title for a year and brought it back this summer to its rightful home. What is that emotion for you and for the other officers and leaders? And you know firsthand how much work goes into that, but some of your teammates, they may participate in community service, but they don't understand the planning and the strategy and the outreach and the effort that goes into coordinating all those projects. How important was that to the leadership?
It's definitely, like you said, a lot of people, you know, you get involved with the community service, but a lot of people outside of the officers and committee members, we had a meeting and we just really had to reconvene and say, like, look, is this our goal? We had to reevaluate how we were going to go about it, how we were going to execute those programs. And so to be a part of that and us to win was honestly an amazing feeling. I even sent a message in our SAT group, me, you know, that group worked really hard to come back and be resilient and show how we are best in class. So it was just a great feeling to have that coming off a lot of teams winning the SAT Cup, showing that we are champions on and off the field.
Terrific. All right, before we let you go, we're going to have a little round of fun. Let's talk about favorite meal.
I think my favorite meal would honestly have to be breakfast, because you could have it in the morning, in the afternoon, or for dinner.
That's interesting. We got an actual favorite meal, not favorite meal.
Oh, well, so, if it was food, then tacos.
Yeah, favorite food. Okay, there we go.
Because then you could also have tacos for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
That's an excellent answer. That might be our best meal answer so far. Favorite TV show?
Right now that's on TV is This Is Us. Okay. But I'm a really big TGIT fan. I love Shonda Rhimes and her show.
Okay. Are you a Netflix person? No, yes, sort of, a little bit.
I kind of run out of options, so.
Really?
I've watched a lot of stuff.
You've gotten to the end of Netflix, and it's just time to start over. That's also the first time we've heard that answer. Let's talk about Major. I know this answer, but for your adoring fans that are listening and watching, Major, and then what's after graduation?
So I'm a public health major, and with that, I'm hoping to go into corporate wellness and work for a company and install a wellness program. I think that that's something that we really need in America. You know, what wellness as far as eating right, mental health, safety stuff. So that's kind of where my passion is. I'm waiting on a internship opportunity from Southwest Airlines, and so I really look forward to different. I think working with SAC, that's also helped too, the different events that we put on and stuff. So
fantastic. Now the Josh Mank question that I'm required to ask of each of our guests. Very important. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
No.
There we go. All right. You got it right. Hey, come back and see us. Let's play well into November and December. And best of luck the rest of your senior year.
Definitely. Thanks, Tim.
Raven Porter. Thanks so much. We'll be back with segment 3 and Coach Case.
This show and others like it from KETR.org are made possible by generous contributions from listeners just like you. Donate today at KETR.org.
Back in segment 3 of Lions, where we'll hear from the main cafe on the Texas A&M Commerce campus on KETR, home of the Lions Sports Network. I want to welcome in our head volleyball coach after a big 2-0 weekend, Craig Case, 4-2 in the league. The question that's really been on my mind, Craig.
I know.
Is coaching volleyball hard?
What?
No,
it depends.
I'm kidding.
Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't.
I'm kidding. We just wanted to freeze you, and
All
we
right.
successfully got you thinking about it. No, let's talk about the weekend. A couple tough road losses and tough places to play, both in Denton at TWU and then down in Kingsville, but then a road trip that I don't think many people in this league are going to go 2-0 on this year at Cameron and Midwestern State. Talk about the weekend, and then obviously, as we do every week, win or lose, that Friday-Saturday turnaround really quick to get back up.
Yeah, you know, the rewarding thing about this weekend is I thought we won against two good teams that are completely different. So we weren't able to go in and just prepare for both teams. We had to get ready for one, and we had to win one way, and then we had to turn around, you know, less than 12 hours later and do it again another way. And that was good. And the thing that sunk us against Kingsville and Texas Women's was our serving and receiving. And,
yeah.
and so we addressed that, and we came out, and I thought, you know, we were the better serving and receiving team in other people's gyms last weekend, which is good.
No, that's terrific. So this week, or as we're taping this, getting ready to jump on the road here pretty quick, final non-conference match at Southeastern Oklahoma tonight. I know you're very strategic in your scheduling and how it impacts regional rankings. Had, you know, some good performances early and some important competitions early with those tournaments before conference play. Talk about this one and the importance of these and how it's not the same as a conference match, but it certainly counts for bigger things down the road.
Yeah, you know, and overall schedule wins, you know, and that those are important. 20 wins is kind of the magic number in college volleyball. If you can get to 20, and you've got a good enough strength of schedule, you're in good shape. But then you've also got regional wins, and being a contiguous state, this counts as a regional opponent for us. So
contiguous, good word.
Contiguous. Yeah. The it's an important win or important match for us, and we've got to win it. You know, it's their homecoming week, and they're ready for it. We're always recruiting the same kids, so they got a roster full of players that we're also looking at coming here. So it's an important win, and they're good, and it's going to be a tough one to get on the road. And then the other thing, too, is I think there's a skill in college volleyball winning on the road. And the more times you can do that and get good at it,
sure,
the more likely, you know, we're – If we kept winning every match and we won the national championship, the last few matches aren't going to be in Commerce anyway. So we've got to be able to figure out how to win on the road if you're going to be a championship-level team in college volleyball.
Friday and Saturday night, big homestand with, mm-hmm. with both our partners from another contiguous state.
Yep.
Coming in, talk about preparing for that one. It'll be, you know, obviously get back late tonight and then have a couple of days of preparation and then two quick matches on the turnaround.
I mean, these are huge, you know, huge matches. You know, I don't know if anybody expected that Commerce, Eastern New Mexico, and Western New Mexico will be playing in big matches this early with all of us being tied at 4-2. But, it's an opportunity for us to really do some great things within the league standings. You know, and then secondly, you know, I haven't forgotten it, and I'm sure the girls haven't forgotten it either. Eastern New Mexico ended our season last year, and so that match means something. Western New Mexico, you know, their coach is a coaching legend, and he's won more matches than most people can count, not using a computer at least. And they're well coached, and they're going to be ready to go. So they're good matches. We split with them. We won our matches at home last year. They won their matches at home. So the first step to us sweeping them is making sure we handle them here this year.
And I think I looked at this correctly. There's right now very early in the standings, but through six matches for most teams, between 1 and 8 is a two-game difference or game and a half difference,
and a half.
I think. So another year of Lone Star Volleyball, but the parity is there because unlike some other, you know, every sport's a little bit different with how many teams make it and who makes it and that kind of thing, but with only 6 spots, really, really competitive seating so far early.
Yeah, I mean, if things worked out, and it wouldn't go in our favor because we would have to lose a couple of matches, but if things worked out, you could probably see a 6-way tie for second place after this weekend. But we're hoping we handle our business and there's only one team in second place, and
right.
That would be us.
Or first.
But we would need some help from us from other people. But, yeah, that would be
that
ideal,
would be
too.
That would be advisable as well.
Yeah.
I don't think we've done the fun questions with you yet. I was just thinking about that as we let Raven off the hook easy. Can you answer the hot dog question?
That's a sandwich to me.
Yeah, we may have to edit that out. Let me ask it again. Is a hot dog a sandwich? No. Do you have a strong feeling? I mean, other than, hey, best of luck, 4-2. I really think, from early all signs of watching them that, the best volleyball's in front of us, and
I agree.
Hopefully those two road wins this weekend are a launching pad for great things to come, okay?
Awesome. Thanks, Tim.
Appreciate it, Coach. Craig Case, as we wrap up our final segment, just quickly going over the rest of the weekend line, athletics, volleyball, and soccer doubleheader. Friday night volleyball at the field house at 5 o'clock. Eastern New Mexico soccer at home at 7 with a big match against Angelo State cross country, closing their season on the road at the Lois Davis Invitational at Southern Arkansas. Saturday volleyball hosting Western New Mexico at 2, and then as we mentioned, the top 10 matchup, number 2 Texas A&M Commerce at number 10 Midwestern State in Lone Star Conference football action. Sunday, soccer noon against UT Permian Basin here at the Lions soccer pitch. So very, very busy weekend. We're very excited about Lions Roar and want to thank Josh Mank and Jared Knight and their staffs for the production efforts on this inaugural year of the show. And also very exciting news launched on iTunes this week. So you can subscribe to the podcast under Lions Roar on the iTunes app. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. We'll see you next week on Lions Roar. Go Lions.